चाहे ले वो अखा तेरिया ने ऐदा लगता जिदा हरे रंग दी लेक तू हरे रंग दी लेक लोक तेरे नाल फोटो लैन चन्न दी कुड़ी बंगला दी भैन सर तेन बिजली बिजली कैन ओ जिदे उत्ते गिरदी बजदा भी कख नी तारे भी डर के रैन सिंड्रेला तेरे उत्ते आया दिल मेरा घुंघरू पा के नचाया कमाल है कमाल है बवाल है बवाल है कश्मीरी सेब है टू मच लाल है ओ परियां दे नाल दी सपने दी चाल दी होर की तू पाल दी जे जानी तेरे नाल है ओ कोई लिखदा तेरी जुल्फां ते कोई तेरे बुल्लां उत्ते लिखदा हुण सारे तेरे ते लिखदे नी केड़ा फुल्लां उत्ते लिखदा जानी वरगे वड्डे वड्डे शायर तेरे कोले आ बैण कन्न दी कुड़ी बंगलां दी भैण सर तेनू बिजली बिजली कैन ओ जिदे उत्ते गिरदी बजदा भी कख नी तारे भी डर के रैण ओ सिंड्रेला तेरे उत्ते आया दिल मेरा घुंघरू पा के नचाया
ओलुया वेसा मेरे गाले नी राबर तार पल में तारी ओलुया वेसा अरे चुड़ले राजनी गार पल में तारी ओलुया वेसा मेरे गाले नी राबर तार पल में तारी ओलुया वेसा मेरे गाले नी राबर तार पल में तारी ओलुया वेसा वाले कमले का गो बोले गेरी सोरम चावे साए माए कमले का गो बोले गेरी सोरम चावे सा पता जानो मेरो बाल मो बेटे कार में आवे सा पता जानो मेरो बाल मो बेटे कार में आवे सा अब तो या जा
खिड़की पे तेरे सुबह मेरी होती चाय के प्याले के तरह तू साथ होती हल्के से तेरा यूं हंसना शर्मा के सर झुकाना हाँ ये प्यार ही है है ना मोरा सैया मोसे बोले ना है मोरा सैया मोसे बोले ना है मोरा सैया मोसे बोले ना एक दिन मेरे घर तू आना, सातों जन्म मुझको तेरे संग ताना, सपने मेरे रोते फिरे खिड़की पे जो तू न देखे, ढलते ही शाम आई रोशनी ये काम अगर हो गया, जो गाने सुनाए थे खिड़की पे बैठे, जो सपने सजाए थे खिड़की पे बैठे, यूं बेवफाई के पर्दे गिरा कर तोड़ा मेरा दिल, क्यों तूने ऐसे, क्या ये प्यार ही है, ये है क्या, अगर ये प्यार नहीं तो है क्या, क्या ये प्यार ही है, ये है क्या, मुझसे
जाने वाले लाखों में वो तुम जो एक ही, फिर भी सोचता हूँ मैं तुम्हें बता दूँ बात ये जो तुमसे ना कहीं, कुछ इस तरह से तुमको चाहेंगे हम, तुम्हीं से लड़ेंगे तुमको मनाएंगे हम, तुम्हें अपने दिल की धड़कन बनाएंगे हम, मोहब्बत तो करके देखो निभाएंगे हम, किसी से दिल ना लगाएंगे हम, तुम्हीं से लड़ेंगे तुमको मनाएंगे हम, एक तेरे ही आगे खुद को झुकाएंगे हम, मोहब्बत तो करके देखो निभाएंगे हम क्यों तारे चांद तारे तेरी राहों में हम इस जहां के नूर सारे तेरे आगे कुछ ना सनम तू जिधर हो जहां हो मेरा वादा है ये इस जन्म से हर जन्म तक तेरे ही रहेंगे हम
भायो रे उड़ी उड़ी दिल जायो रे सुन रे भिणी भिणी थारी आख्या रे धीमे धीमे कदी चल्या रे सुन रे मन भायो रे उड़ी उड़ी दिल जायो रे सुन रे बिन बिन थारी अखियां रे धीमे धीमे कदी चलिया रे सुन रे जिद मेरी समेटू इने हाथों में मैं फिर ले चलूं सबसे परे धूप बन के बरसी है ये बूंद बन के खुशियां परोसो कहां नन्ही सी ये कोशिशें है मुश्किलों से होती है चहकती रहे हर जगह आसमां से धूप बन के बरसी गए ये बूंद बन के खुशियां परोसो कहां नन्ही सी ये कोशिशें है मुश्किलों से होती है चहकती थी कहीं मन चली सूखी शाख सी थी जिंदगी फिर कहीं ना मिली थी वजह प्यार की खोजते रही मैं हर कहीं मैं खड़ी रो रही थी कहीं मन चली सूखी शाख सी थी जिंदगी फिर कहीं ना मिली थी वजह प्यार की खोजते रही मैं हर कहीं चैन सी सर्दी हुई अंधेरों में भी हल चल हुई हल चल हुई हल चल हुई आंखें मेरी किसी से मिली घड़ी ती रुकी वो फिर चल पड़ी वो धुंधला समा हवा सा मुड़ा घड़ी ती रुकी वो फिर चल पड़ी धीमी से है ये रोशनी छोटी सी है ये जिद मेरी समेटू इने हाथों में मैं फिर ले चलूं सबसे परे आसमां से धूप बन के बरसी है ये बूंद बन के खुशियां परोसो कहां नन्ही सी ये कोशिशें है मुश्किलों से होती है चहकती रहे हर जगह आसमां से धूप बन के बरसी है ये बूंद बन के खुशियां परोसो कहां नन्ही सी ये कोशिशें है मुश्किलों से होती है चहकती रहे हर जगह घड़ी घड़ी मन भायो रे उड़ी उड़ी दिल जायो रे सुन रे बिनी बिनी थारी अखियां रे धीमे धीमे कदी चलिया रे सुन रे Bye.
जाऊं एक पल की तलाश में, तुरंत मिल जाऊं, तुरंत मिल जाऊं, तुरंत मिल जाऊं, तुरंत मिल जाऊं, मिल जाऊं, मिल जाऊं,
मैंने बात अपनी सुनी होती तो जिंदगी आज कहीं और ही ले जाती। काश मैंने बात अपनी सुनी होती तो जिंदगी आज कहीं और ही ले जाती, पर बैठे हैं अभी अपनी जिद के साए में, गाते हैं यही गीत इसके बारे में। हम हमें मिल जाता कहीं फिर से वो लम्हा तो कर एक नई सुबह होती, पर होता यूं नहीं जीवन के फेरों में, पीछे जो गया गुम है अंधेरे में। में आता ये हुनर कि कल की भूल को याद करके भी जी लेते। काश हमें आता ये हुनर कि कल की भूल को याद करके भी जी लेते। अब सीखेंगे इसे, सीखेंगे इसे अपनी ही बातों से, पूछेंगे नहीं इसे अपनी यादों से। काश
आग जाते बो बवरन लाग रे बलदा की सू अड़ा मानुष की कीमत कोनी। करना था बहुत कुछ था भाई जीवन में पर इबे हिम्मत कोनी।
ईटा दे मांजा कासण में दातन करता नीम ते देप मेरे लगते कोनी कम ना छोटे भीम से। ईटा दे मांजा कासण में तन करता नीम ते देप मेरे लगते कोनी कम ना छोटे भीम से। सारे पूछे मना कित्सा 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 रहता भाइयों के दिला मैं रखूं कोनी गिला मैं ढूंढूं और मिला मैं। सारे पूछे मना कित्सा 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 रहता भाइयों के दिला मैं रखूं कोनी गिला मैं ढूंढूं और मिला
मैं पीसे कोनी निरा खर्चा करा कुकर दुनिया के हाथ जोड़ बैठे अपना घरा भीतर चिलम में धरा खे कर भरती के भरा पेपर साथी खेता का गैला अपने चला लेकर इचके कोलू या जोटा खड़ा थका देख दा बड़ा सायाड़े दूरे आख्या मीच के घबरा के परे भाजा डरे उसका काल जा की पीसा खातिर बेच दूंगा नीच के।
करता नीम ते देप मेरे लगते कोनी कम ना छोटे भीम से। ईटा दे मांजा कासण में दातन करता नीम ते देप मेरे लगते कोनी कम ना छोटे भीम से। सारे पूछे बड़े किसे के दिला मैं रखूं कोनी गिला मैं ढूंढूं और मिला मैं। सारे पूछे बड़े किसे रहता भाइयों के दिला मैं रखूं कोनी गिला मैं ढूंढूं और मिला मैं।
बाटता घड़ी देखी पर समय आया को नहीं लौट गए।
We'll be right back. uzun ve zorlu ama onurlu, yattık ölüm orucuna. Uzun ve zorlu ama onurlu, yattık ölüm orucuna.
Days into the Trump administration, we're joined by one of the world's best-known dissidents, the linguist and activist Noam Chomsky, Institute Professor Emeritus at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where he taught for more than 50 years. He's the author of more than 100 books. His latest book comes out today. It's titled Requiem for the American Dream, The 10 Principles of Concentration of Wealth and Power. Noam Chomsky, welcome back to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us.
Glad to be with you again.
So why don't we start on this 75th day by your assessment of what has happened in these first few months?
Well, I think it was captured pretty well by a Los Angeles Times editorial, which simply called it a train wreck. But it's very consistent, very systematic. Anything that can be of assistance to ordinary people, working people, middle-class people, people on the street, any such program has to be decimated. Anything that adds to wealth and power or that increases the use of force that we carry forward. And it's done with this kind of a two-tiered system working, I presume consciously, so systematic it's hard to question. The Bannon-Trump team wants to make sure that they dominate the headlines. So whatever they do, that's what people look at. and one crazy thing after another, the assumption apparently being you'll forget the old ones by the time the new ones come in. So no one talks anymore about the 3 million illegal immigrants who voted for Clinton. That one we've forgotten. We're on to the next one. Then we'll go on to the next one. While this is going on in front, the Paul Ryan style budgetary and planning operations are going on quietly in the back, ripping to shreds any element of government that can help people either today or tomorrow. That's the point of the destruction of the environmental system. It's not just the EPA which was slashed. Most of the environmental programs were actually in the Energy Department, and their research and activist programs were slashed very seriously.
And what do you make in terms of, when you're talking about decimation, clearly one of the big failures was their inability to end Obamacare. Could you talk about what you're seeing now as the potential in terms of the healthcare system in the country, what they will try to do and what the potential is there?
Actually, there was a pretty interesting poll about it that came out a couple of days ago, simply asking people what they preferred. The Republican proposal was the lowest of the choices available. I think about 15% of the population were willing to accept it. Somewhat higher was the existing system, so-called Obamacare. And on that, it's worth bearing in mind that a lot of people don't know that Obamacare is the Affordable Care Act. So you have negative attitudes towards Obamacare, thanks to lots of propaganda, but more positive attitudes towards the Affordable Care Act because of what people see. Most popular of all, over half, was so-called public option, a government-guaranteed health care program, which is pretty remarkable because no one publicly advocates that. But it's been a consistent polling result for decades that when people are asked what they want, they say that's their choice. And in fact, that's about the only proposal that makes any sense. The U.S. Healthcare system is an international scandal. It's roughly twice the per capita costs of comparable countries and some of the worst outcomes, mainly because it's privatized, extremely inefficient, bureaucratized, lots of bill paying, lots of officials, tons of money wasted, healthcare in the hands of profit-seeking institutions, which are not health institutions, of course. And for decades, people have preferred what every other country has in some fashion, either straight national health care or heavily government-regulated health care, like, say, Switzerland. Sometimes the support is astonishingly high. So in the late Reagan years, for example, about 70% of the population thought that guaranteed health care should be a constitutional guarantee, because it's such an obvious desideratum. And about 40% thought it already was in the Constitution. The Constitution is just this holy collection of anything reasonable, so it must be there. But it just doesn't matter what people think. When Obama put through his own program, I think support for the public option was almost 2/3, but it was simply dismantled. When this is occasionally this is discussed in the press, so New York Times, others, and they mention it. They say yes, it's a possibility, but it's called politically impossible, which is correct, which means you can't pass it through the pharmaceutical corporations and financial institutions. That's politically impossible in what's called democracy. Sometimes they say lacking political support, meaning from the institutions that really matter. There's kind of this population on the side, but we can dismiss them. Yeah.
Do you think there could be a kind of Nixon in China moment with Trump? He has in the past expressed support for single payer. He's extremely angry right now at the Freedom Caucus. He can't decide which are the villains in this more, the Freedom Caucus or the Democrats. He goes back and forth. Do you think he could sort of throw it all out, or is it going to just go, as we're seeing in these past few days, where it looks like they're going to revive it to what the so-called Freedom Caucus caucus wants.
I think they'll probably revise it. Trump is all over the place. You don't know what he believes. He says almost anything that comes to his mind at 3 a.m. But the people who are really setting the policy in the background, essentially the Ryan ultra-right Republicans, they understand what they're doing. And they want to destroy the aspects of the healthcare system that are beneficial to the general public. That's systematic policies. Probably what will happen is the kind of compromise that's already being discussed with states having the right to opt out of whatever the federal program is, which might satisfy the ultra-right Freedom Caucus, make it even worse than the current Republican proposal.
I wanted to
turn to today, incidentally, once I think Kansas turned down expansion of Medicaid. I mean, anything that's going to help people in need is got to be wiped out.
Noam Chomsky, I'd like to ask you about something that's been in the news a lot lately. Obviously, all the cable channels, that's all they talk about these days, is the whole situation of Russia's supposed intervention in American elections for a country that's intervened in so many governments and so many elections around the world. That's kind of a strange topic. But I know you've referred to this as a joke. Could you give us your view on what's happening and why there's so much emphasis on this particular issue?
Pretty remarkable fact that, first of all, it is a joke. Most half of the world is cracking up in laughter. The United States doesn't just interfere in elections. It overthrows governments it doesn't like, institutes military dictatorships. Simply in the case of Russia alone, it's the least of it. The U.S. government under Clinton intervened quite blatantly and openly. They didn't try to conceal it to get their man Yeltsin in all sorts of ways. So this, as I say, it's turning the United States again into a laughingstock in the world. So why are the Democrats focusing on this? In fact, why are they focusing so much attention on the one element of Trump's programs, which is fairly reasonable, the one ray of light in this gloom, trying to reduce tensions with Russia? The tensions on the Russian border are extremely serious. They could escalate to a major terminal war. Efforts to try to reduce them should be welcomed. That's a couple of days ago, the former U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Jack Matlock, came out and said he just can't believe that so much attention is being paid to apparent efforts by the incoming administration to establish connections with Russia. He said, sure, that's just what they ought to be doing. So meanwhile, this one topic is the primary locus of concern and critique, while meanwhile, the policies are proceeding step by step, which are extremely destructive and harmful. So, maybe the Russians tried to interfere in the election. That's not a major issue. Maybe the people on the Trump campaign were talking to the Russians. Well, okay, not a major point, certainly less than is being done constantly. And it is a kind of a paradox, I think, that the one issue that seems to inflame the Democratic opposition is the one thing that has some justification and reasonable aspects to it.
Well, of course, because the Democrats feel that that's the reason somehow that they lost the election. Interesting that James Comey this week said he is investigating Trump campaign collusion with Russia, when it was Comey himself who could have— who might well have been partly responsible for Hillary Clinton's defeat when he said that he was investigating her, while we now have learned at the same time he was investigating Donald Trump, but never actually said that.
Well, you can understand why the Democratic Party managers want to try to find some blame for the fact—for the way they utterly mishandled the election and blew a perfect opportunity to win, handed it over to the opposition. But that's hardly a justification for allowing the Trump policies to slide by quietly, many of them not only harmful to the population, but extremely destructive, like the climate change policies. And meanwhile, focus on one thing that could become a step forward if it was adjusted to move towards serious efforts to reduce growing and dangerous tensions right on the Russian border, where they could blow up. NATO maneuvers are taking place hundreds of yards from the Russian border. The Russian jet planes are buzzing American planes. This is something could get out of hand very easily. Both sides are, meanwhile, are building up their military forces, adding the U.S. One thing that the Russians are very much concerned about is the so-called anti-ballistic missile installation that the U.S. is establishing near the Russian border, allegedly to protect Europe from non-existent Iranian missiles. Nobody seriously believes that. This is a understood to be a first strike threat. These are serious issues. People like William Perry, who has a distinguished career and is a nuclear strategist and is no alarmist at all, is saying that we're back to this is one of the worst moments of the Cold War, if not worse. That's really serious. And efforts to try to calm that down would be very welcome. And we should bear in mind it's the Russian border. It's not the Mexican border. There's no Warsaw Pact maneuvers going on in Mexico. And that's a border that the Russians are quite reasonably sensitive about. They've practically been destroyed several times last century right through that region.
In line with your concern about the growing threat in terms of nuclear weapons, there are also maneuvers going on off the coast of Korea. And the words that we've heard from President Trump in the last few days, that if China doesn't deal with North Korea, the U.S. will. Could you talk about his policies already, his developing policies toward Korea and toward China?
Well, it's kind of interesting to look at the record. The claim is, well, we've tried everything, nothing works, therefore we have to use force. Is it true that nothing's worked? I mean, there is a record, after all. And if you look at the record, it's interesting. 1994, Clinton established what was called the Framework Agreement with North Korea. And North Korea would terminate its efforts to develop nuclear weapons. The U.S. would reduce hostile acts. It more or less worked, and neither side lived up to it totally, but by 2000, North Korea had not proceeded with its nuclear weapons programs. George W. Bush came in and immediately launched an assault on North Korea, you know, acts of evil, sanctions, and so on. North Korea turned to producing nuclear weapons. In 2005, there was an agreement between North Korea and the United States. Pretty sensible agreement. North Korea agreed to terminate its development of nuclear weapons. In return, it called for a non-aggression pact, so stop making hostile threats, relief from harsh sanctions, and provision of a system to provide North Korea with low-enriched uranium for medical and other purposes. That was the proposal. George Bush instantly tore it to shreds. Within days, the U.S. was imposing